You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to... I was going to say something else that had nothing to do with Hidden Places, but welcome to Hidden Places. I'm your host, Karen Hubbard, and we thank you for joining us today, and we hope that the Lord is blessing you more than he ever has before. You just got to receive all that he has for you. You don't have to do anything to earn it, just receive it. Amen. So welcome. And we say good morning to Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Coming in from the north. And then and we have Deanne Diaz, also coming in from the north.
Good morning, everyone.
And our brother Sean coming up from the south.
Good afternoon.
Amen. Welcome. Well, I didn't know what I was going to talk about till like 10 seconds ago, but you know, I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Lord was saying to be still. That's what I kept hearing. Be still, you know, quit trying to do stuff. Just be still, which, you know, a lot of us find it hard to do that. And I, you know, at times I don't find it hard because I like to just... I want to be in the house by myself. I want to be real quiet. And, you know, so when you're an introvert, then you tend to want to be alone. A lot of people don't want to be alone with their own heart and their thoughts, you know, so they'll do everything to distract themselves and, you know, be out doing things. But anyway, he was, you know, saying to me to be still. So this morning I was thinking about, you know, being that it's the Christmas season, I always flash back to the first time I encountered the Lord, or he encountered me, you know, at 5, 6 years old, however old I was. And, you know, I've shared it many times that my family, everybody was in the den, the other side of the house, watching Frosty the Snowman or something. And I was in the living room with our record player and our 45 record, and on one side is O Holy Night, and on the other side was the Little Drummer Boy. So every year, as we begin to get into the Christmas season, it's like I feel like that's where I'm sitting. Like I'm sitting in, from that night, it was like I literally had a vision of that it was this, just like it says in O Holy Night and some of the songs, some of the Christmas carols that we hear, you know, the stars are brightly shining. And, you know, so that whole picture, it was like my whole world opened up to that. And so I felt like I was sitting in the place. And then here's the manger, just not too far away from where I was. And, you know, just seeing the whole scene. And it was like I just became part of it. But, you know, I really encountered the Lord, but you know, I kept flipping the record back and forth, and just crying my eyes out. I don't know for how long I was there, but because the presence of God, I knew that God was real, and I just received from him that day. But it wasn't until years later that I understood, you know, really what that was. And so I'm thinking about that this morning. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord refers me to John 3:18. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come to the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Hmm. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. But, you know, specifically, he who does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So I don't have any commentary on it, but I just wanted to open up for you guys to, just take it from there. It's about believing. What do you believe?
Can you just imagine you're in the midst of some kind of warfare and you're dealing with something in your flesh or health-wise or your job, but you're in the middle, on the threshold of real warfare. All of a sudden, God says to you, be still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And when you see the salvation of the Lord, you're going to experience what that salvation is about coming to fortify who you are and what you are in the midst of any and every circumstance. And in the case of Moses, God simply says, Moses, stand still and watch my salvation. God goes before us. He is before us and he goes before us. That's why the scripture says your steps are ordered of God. Your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. So when you know that you have peace and you're wearing peace and you're walking in peace, you have an adequate supply of divine resources, which is why it says to you, and remember the word resources, because he whose mind is stayed upon the Lord shall have perfect peace. So you're in a storm, you're in warfare. What is perfect peace? It's having divine resources before you. So God's there before you get there because he's everywhere all the time and he knows everything. Let's put let's put our focus on him in our faith, in that as we stand still, we don't just see it and recognize it, we experience what salvation really is, because God is our salvation.
Amen. And so now that you said that, yeah, so to me, like, you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, so it would become very cold, you know, starting in October. And I used to make a joke about that I would start hibernating, you know, around the 1st of November. You know, so I told my friends, you know, I'll see you when the snow goes away, you know, because I wasn't going to be out doing a lot of stuff during the winter time. But I correlate it now with the Lord. You know, the Lord has, we live in time, so time is set up. We've got, you know, 24 hours a day, we've got so many minutes per day, and, you know, everything is orderly in that aspect. And we've got seasons, and we've got months, and we've got years. So we have this opportunity every year to think about why we're even here, you know, which is because of the Lord Jesus. So it's this time that, and I know with Advent, you know, there's people do all these different things during Advent, mm-hmm. which I never followed any of the calendars and stuff, but it's the Lord giving us that opportunity to wind it down to the end of the year, right? Be still toward the end of the year, because what's coming next year, we've got to be prepared for. And it's this time to refocus and to get our minds off of ourselves mm-hmm. and onto the one, the baby, the little baby Jesus, you know, when he came to do all what he was going to do for us, to sacrifice his life. But for, you know, this period, this season, to just let everything else go. And, you know, how the world has distracted us with gift buying and, you know, all the secularization of stuff. But it's all about him. And this is like we can get a redo at the end of each year. So I guess that's how I'm approaching it this year. I'm just, because he had told me a couple of weeks ago, just be still, just chill out for a little bit. And, you know, just focus on him, focus on the word, focus on his faithfulness. I was thinking about, I just began to think of all that he's done in my life. You know, when you start to think about that, because a lot of times we get caught up in, well, you know, I got this going on and, all, you know, and this and then this person and, you know, get all these things going on. But when you stop for like 2 seconds and begin to recount what God has done in your life, then changes your attitude really quickly. But then you become thankful and grateful, and your heart is open so that you're able to receive more. So I'm saying that he's saying to open your heart so that you can receive him more. Make room in your heart again this year just for him, and let him prepare you for what's coming up over the next season.
As you guys are sharing, be still and know. That's what my journal says, be still and know. But those that you can't see it, you know, you just have to bear witness of the others.
It's really pretty with that leaves and flowers.
But I'm sitting here and I'm taking in everything you're sharing, Karen, and what scene, and I have yet to hear from my sister on my left right now. But I'm sitting here, and of course, you know, crazy me, as usual, I'm sitting here, and I'm hearing you talk about, you know, like these seasons and these times, and how this month of December, you know, according to the calendar, is a time to kind of set our eyes right on the birth of Jesus, kind of set our eyes to this new year that we're about to go into, and how, you know, actual seasons determine, you know, where we're at, whether we're in summer, spring, winter. But I can't help but to feel in the spirit that even if you notice, even seasons are changing in different states. Like the states that normally have, like, you know, summer lately have cooler summers, right? And, you know, there's extreme just temperatures, right? Changing. And seasons look different. And so, again, by the Spirit, you must know the season. You must determine and you know, discern if it's time where the trees are beginning to change color, you know, that the leaves are beginning to fall and they're bare, or when they're nice and green and lush and maybe some fruit is growing on it, is to really get that sense. Because I used to, you know, follow a lot of the go by the Hebrew calendar as well. You know, many go by what people say the real calendar, as far as determining appointed times and determining seasons, and the feasts dictate that, and so on and so on. But overall, I remember there was times where I was sensing the Spirit was leading me to do this or be in that. And it was like I was already aligned to what was going on, let's say, according to the Hebrew calendar, without even knowing, with being just ignorant about it. So I think it's really important. What I'm sitting here and receiving is learn the season that you're in, even if you look outside and it looks like summer, but you're feeling a chill in the air and you're like, where is this chill coming? I don't know if I'm making sense, but you know, what's parallel to me is like, you know, what we were talking about, Psalm 46:10, right? Be still and know. But then I felt like I was hearing 2 Chronicles 20, and we're talking about this war, right? This army that's coming against Jehoshaphat, right? And the Lord says, stand. But that also can be still. And it's written here, it says to take the position of faith and trust, like you were mentioning, faith and trust in God. It's not inactivity, but rather to hold your ground and wait expectantly, but let God fight the battle for you. Whatever that looks like. And so that's my little snippet. I don't know how you're feeling over here, Deanne. I'm just throwing you in there.
Oh, you're throwing me in
for
there.
For now, that's all I have to say. I'm not hearing anything else.
Yes. Okay. Well, I agree with all of you. I do agree with all of you. December 1st through 15th, I've committed to a morning throne room prayer time. Through a ministry online on Facebook. And she's located centrally, so it's 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Thank God mine is 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. But there's some in California, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. So, and it's called Throne Room Prayer. Come, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us seek the Lord, right? And she's just saying God told her to do this because the new glory, the glory realm, God says the glory realm that I'm taking you to requires a new level of seek.
That's so good.
A new level of seek. And boy, let me tell you, this is waking me up. Not literally and spiritually. 5:50 a.m. the alarm goes off, and I'm not an alarm person. But spiritually, because we get so complacent, and we don't even realize we get lukewarm, right? God says, I'd rather you not be cold. I'd rather be cold or hot. Mm. But if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. God have mercy. How many believers are in that place of, just coasting through the day. I got this. I don't need to take time and sit with God. I don't need to hear his voice. I've been here, done that. You know, I got this, God. We are not desperate and we're not relying on and looking to God. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What is your instruction for me? What is your strategy? And that was the very first day I said, Lord, unlock my ears, my heart to hear you in this new season. It is a new season. It's a new season and it's a new year. God was speaking through the broadcast. I've come to refresh my sons and my daughters. We need that refreshing. We need the living water to flow again. Hallelujah. We need to be saturated with the power and the fire and the presence of the Holy Ghost. We need this. We don't realize how much we need it until we step back into it. And it's like, wow.
Right.
Why did I ever leave this place? Why did I stop coming to this place? And he said also, be still and know that I am God. Amen. And it's a common thing because Karen's been saying this for 2 or 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Rumi, I think is his name, that does The Chosen, I see him come on the TV with the Hallow app. You know, download the Hallow app, go through Advent with us. During this whole time, everybody's busy and shopping and everything going on. He's like, God is saying, just be still and know that I am God. Now, that was three confirmations. Mm-hmm. God is speaking the same thing to everyone around the world. Mm-hmm. We have to be still. We have to be still. And, you know, a couple of times I've heard come out as well, confirmation is he keeps saying, I see you. Mm-hmm. Elroy, right? Mm-hmm. I am the God who sees you. And I said, and this is what he put in my heart. You see us, God. You hear us in the quiet place. You catch every tear and hold us safe in the palm of your hand. And that song from years ago, Lord, I want to yearn for you. I want to burn with passion, Shane and Shane. It was like playing in my head. And I'm like, God, I remember when that song came out and how I would listen and weep and seek and, you know, just... He's bringing me back to that place. Mm-hmm. But we do. We have to return because he wants to do an amazing new thing in us.
Yes.
And he was telling me that yesterday. You got to let go. Before I can bring the new, you got to let go of the old.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, what is the whole purpose and goal of our God? What is the whole purpose?
To reconcile us to himself.
Amen.
John 3, to return us to him.
John 3:16. Yes. For God so loved the world.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He sent his son. He gave us his best. He's drawing us and we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And what better time than this time of year where everything else is trying to distract us, you know, with, you know, big the gifts and the spending and the planning and the holidays and the gathering and the money. And it's like, no. We need to be still and say, okay, God, show me who I can share your love with. Who can I share Christ with? Who can I share the gospel, the good news with? This is where God wants us to be. I've got more, but I'll shut up for now.
Think about this new level of seek. Think about where we are on the timeline in this world right now. Think about Jeremiah 18:18. It says, then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. And what does God keep saying to Jeremiah? He says, Jeremiah, if you want to keep leading, you got to keep learning. You got to be humble, teachable. You got to be meek. Think about it, folks. Think about it, listening audience. It's pretty simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to humble yourself, to be meek, to be teachable, to be flexible in the hand of God. He says, Jeremiah, I'm the potter. You're the clay. Mm-hmm. We have to allow the potter to work the clay to cause us to become who we are in him, even as you were saying, Deanne.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, he wants to form us, continue to form us into his image, into his likeness, into, you know, us individually. You know, I can't get past the... you know, on social media, these different people that are coming to the Lord, and they're being very vocal about, you know, and these are people that have no church history or anything, and God's saving them. And we're watching people being drawn to the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. And, you know, these people are just day by day, they're just trying to figure it out. And, you know, without the aid of others coming along and telling them, well, you know, you need to cut your hair, you need to get rid of those tattoos. And, you know, they're just coming in their raw form, coming to Jesus. And you know, we're just beholding people that are coming into the kingdom now. And it's really a wonderful thing to see. And I don't know. I think there's just going to be so much great things happening. You know, as the darkness gets darker, or the world gets darker, and the evil becomes, you know, more wretched. Mm. You know, it's always been evil, but we haven't visually seen it. We're seeing it now, and yes. it's getting more ugly and more dark. But by the same token, the Lord is shining brighter and brighter. His people are shining. And, you know, I heard my husband was on the phone with somebody this morning. They were grumbling about something that was happening. And I think my husband said, well, you know, there's more of them than there are of us. And I'm like, no, because there's only a third. We've got 2/3. They've got 1/3.
That's right.
Amen. But anyway, they, but yeah, we have to see what God is doing, not what the world is doing. You know, that the evil people are going to be evil, and this, you know, their wickedness is going to continue on, but what you can't do anything about it. You do what you can do in the sphere that you have influence, wherever you can be a light, be that light shining in the darkness, and being a voice for the Lord and proclaiming his word and just sharing what he's done in your life. You know, a lot of people, I remember when I got saved, they said, well, you need to go out and tell people. I'm like, you know, tell them about Jesus. And I'm like, well, I don't even know him, you know. So what am I going to tell him? But I do know that there was a change in my life. Mm-hmm. And when I remember when I, so I got saved in Antigua, and then I got transferred to Gulfport, Mississippi. And in the office there, we had several civilians that worked in our payroll office. And one of the ladies, I knew one of them that was a Christian, but just one day she stopped me and she goes, oh, I just can't believe, you know, when I hear you talk, I just see Jesus talking. And and I was like, oh boy, you know, wow. I hope I wasn't cussing, you know, because it took a little while to get over that. But you know, you got to let people see Jesus in you. I wasn't like intentionally trying to do anything. I was just coming to work every day. Mm-hmm. But you know, when people, oh, she said to me one day, she said, I just felt so lifted. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that was kind of an interesting thing. That was like new to me. Mm-hmm. Yes. But you know, we really, like Deanne, you said, you know, ask the Lord, what can I do today? Or, you know, when I'm out doing my errands or whatever, you know, help me to not be so much into myself that I'm ignoring people that are around. But, you know, be the light of Jesus.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that, you know, when we first get that, you know, awaken moment, right? And we begin to see the Savior right before us, right? And so I remember, you know, the church that I used to go to years ago when I came, you know, when I started my walk with the Lord, I remember they said, okay, memorize John 3:16, right? Mm-hmm. Not that that's bad, okay? Not at all. But it was like I kept saying, for God so loved the world, right? And it didn't resonate with me. The word world didn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. It was for God so loved me, like, mm-hmm. because it was me that he saved. I wasn't thinking about everybody else, guys. Mm-hmm. So when they would say, go tell people, and it was like, that's not resonating in me yet. What's right. resonating in, it's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me. All I know is exactly, and I can't help but to revert to the Chosen when she says, I was one way and now I'm another.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. it was like, all of a sudden, I just feel like a weight lifted mm-hmm. off of me. Like, I see things better. I feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So the only thing I could say at this moment is that for God so loved me, mm-hmm. that's the only way I can, mm-hmm. you know, share. At mm-hmm. the moment. And wow. that's the power of the testimony. When you begin, the first thing you should share is how he saved us. Mm-hmm. You know, and then everything else will come. But they mm-hmm. literally were like, memorize John 3:16. Get out there and share. And I was like, get out there and share. Like, I don't bear witness with the word world right now. Okay, he did it. Okay, so you're saying he did it for, but right now I can really talk from a place like, this is what he did
for me.
Right.
I was just like, I was a rebel. I don't know what was wrong with me. Well, that. You know, with me, it was, you know, I remember because I grew up as a Catholic, and I remember hearing, you know, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. You know, but imagine I had this encounter with him, but then, you know, then life began to take place. Mm-hmm. And but I remember hearing in church that, you know, he died for the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, those poor people in the world. I never got it. It never was a personal thing to me.
That I am a sinner.
Those yeah. poor people in the world, those mm. poor, I didn't know they were called sinners. But but yeah, so when the gospel was given to me, you know, through the, what do you call it, the little track thingy, mm-hmm. You know, just was like, oh, okay, that's what that means, you know, and I finally understood mm-hmm. that I was separated from God. That's all you had to tell me. I was, even though I knew God was mm-hmm. real, I was separated from him because I had not received him, just like he had said in this scripture this morning, whoever has not received and believed in him. I believed, but the Lord put it together for me that day, mm. you know, that I had to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus was actually Lord so I could be saved.
You know, in that salvation process, there comes a time when a person starts to grow and they grow up, and not being prideful, but some of us have come out of churches that were not the greatest churches. God, you know, God, as one man said, God bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. But oftentimes, you know, God uses those kinds of leaders to do something in our life. It's called pruning, because when you grow up, mm-hmm. you know, and you learn something, you know, and you are humble and you're teachable, you recognize that whether it was a bad leader or a good leader, God used them all.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
right.
The yes. bad yes. leaders oftentimes Amen. Represents the pruning process mm-hmm. in our lives. I've been in the book of Jeremiah lately, and, you know, he in chapter 30 talks about how God punished his own people by giving them bad leaders. He rewarded his people with giving them good leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good.
Think about it. So right now where we are in this world, in this time, in this historic big events that are taking place, we're living in the best of times and we're living in the worst of times.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Let's talk about that after the break, if you have some more insight into that.
It's called the new level of seek.
The best and the worst.
That's not that wasn't on.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We are back. And, seeing you said it's the best of times and the worst of times. Mm. And yeah, both things can be happening at the same time.
That's true.
The light can be light, and the darkness is going to continue to be dark.
Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and that grace will empower God's people to continue to walk in the truth, because he's the truth, and his truth is what liberates people to walk in the extremity of what God really is, and there's no limit.
Amen. Amen. I sense that, you know, we're coming into a time that the church, like, there's this acceleration taking place, even though at the moment I'm being still. there is an acceleration coming, and it's where I just have a sense of what being, you know, almost like swept up into the presence or into the glory of God, you know, that he's, I just see him like pulling us all in and finalizing things. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about this, you know, just this sense of, like I was trying to explain to Scene earlier. I was in my prayer time. I was seeing, like, you know, like I was standing at the beach, at the shore. So you see the water, you know, the ebb and flow of the water. And, you know, like where the water goes up onto the sand, you know, and then the wave goes back out, and then the sand is still wet. So that's like our lives. Mm. You know, the Lord washes over us, and then he withdraws, and then he comes back in again. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a point where we're going to be swept out into the water of him, the water, you know, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not going to be a doing of our own thing. Like, we do many things in the flesh. We do a lot of activities in the flesh. We do a lot of religious things in the flesh, but I believe there's a shifting coming to where we're not going to be able to help but be in the presence of the Lord,
yes,
being led by the Spirit and being moved by the Spirit of God.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, the fullness, that I just sense the fullness of the Spirit, and it's like everything that we've ever thought of, you know, or dreamed of, or believed that God was going to do in our lives.
Yes.
It's, we're coming into that. And I just think about us boomers that, you know, a lot of us, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of being saved and believing and really contending for many things that God's, this is the time we're entering into, the time where there's going to be that fulfillment of those things. So don't give up, you know, at the door. Don't give up at the threshold.
Yes.
You know, just hang on, because the Spirit of God is going to be moving. Mm. And, you know, I think but we have to prepare. Just like, you know, for Christmas, we got to prepare our hearts to receive him each year, you know, when we celebrate his birth. We've got to receive him in greater ways and in new ways, you know, where he can just continue to fill us and empower us and fill us to the brim so that we're overflowing. Mm. And it's all for his glory. It's not for us. I mean, you know, we get to enjoy it, but it's really for the benefit of those that don't know him yet.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Oh, Karen, right in line with you mentioned, you know, being in the Lord a long time. And last month was 30 years. It was 1995 when I was broken and came back to the Lord. And 30 years. And the Lord, I'm like, God, you know, through this morning prayer, I'm like, remind me of everything you've shown me, told me, reveal to me. I've had prophetic words spoken over me. I've had visions. I've had dreams. You know, I mean, so many things. And it's like, if it hasn't happened, or it's happened a little bit, but not in the fullness, not in what you really saw, that's where we get the lukewarm. We just kind of get complacent. Like, we stop fighting for it. We stop asking for it. Mm-hmm. We stop believing and hoping for it. And I feel like there's a lot of people in that place right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe even all of us in this room right now. You know, when you first receive the Lord, you catch on fire. Mm-hmm. You're on fire. You're so joyful. You're so grateful. You're a new person. And like, wow, you know, you're just like gung-ho. And then it just starts to wane. You know, yes, we feed ourselves, but just somehow. So that was, you know, me saying, God, you are my lifeline. I have to get back to you are my lifeline. Mm-hmm. I do not have life. I do not have abundance. I don't have purpose without you. Mm-hmm. It's like God doesn't want us to just survive day to day going through the whole hum, you know, routine. He wants us to thrive. And this is where he put in my heart, I am not forgotten or forsaken. And I'm speaking this to you out there today. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. You are not discarded. We are moving and flowing in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. And we are never alone. And that's what you're talking about, Karen. We are supposed to be and will return to moving and flowing with the Holy Spirit, the rhythm of heaven. And you had given me a word about the rhythm of heaven, seen. With the rhythm of heaven and with the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, because that's why Jesus sent him to us. Amen? Amen. We have to be in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. Today, my cry was, well, God said he is bringing open doors, open paths, new land, and new mantles for us to take spiritual territory. But if we're not listening, if we're not in tune, we're not going to hear it. We're not going to see the open door. We're not going to see the open path. We're not going to see the new land, not physical land, but the land, the spiritual territory, the land mm-hmm. that he wants us to go in and conquer and take mm-hmm. and the mantles that he's giving us to do that. We don't do it alone. We never do it alone. And he was saying, well, wait on the Lord. Inquire of the Lord, just like David did before he went out for battle. We have to know the battle plan. We can't go out and start just trying to get everybody come to church, you know, say the sinner's prayer. Like we I mean, it just can't be of ourselves. It's got to be moved with the Holy Spirit and the love of God and the appointments and everything that God orchestrates before when we first open our eyes before we go start our day. But inquire of the Lord. Don't go until you have the battle plan that I have for you, says the Lord. Only by the unction and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And this is where he was telling me, practice the presence and the stillness of your God. The presence and the stillness of our God. And I said, Lord, I trust you for the new, the change, the transition. Have your way in me and through me. And on the way here, you're always talking about change, scene. And I heard your voice in my head as I was saying this. I decree and declare, change is here. Change is happening and will be seen. It will. But I just want to read one scripture and I'll finish. So as he was saying to, you know, wait on him and inquire of him, Psalm 62. Truly my soul silently waits for God. For him, from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That was 1 and 2. Going down to verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him all the time. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And that's just that whole psalm is awesome. Mm-hmm. But he is our salvation, our rock, our refuge, our fortress, our high tower, our shield, our buckler. And he is our lifeline. And I know when I was out there drowning and I was ready to sink and die, somebody threw me a lifeline. Mm-hmm. Who out there needs us to throw them a lifeline? Throw them that, what's it called? What you throw somebody when they're sinking?
Yeah, the thing.
What's the thing?
The orange and white thing.
The thing.
The life preserver. Okay. We have to throw that life preserver. We have to throw out the love of God, the truth to save them. And this is the time. This is the time and the season to do it.
Amen.
It's really that time and that season when many are picking up their slingshot. They're taking those little rocks and they're placing them in the slingshot. And they're fighting. They're going to battle. You know, and that was the potential that David had. And not everybody always sees your potential. Not everybody always believes in you, even for that which is hidden in plain sight. But God is raising up a new breed of leadership, leadership that recognizes no matter how successful they are or you are or we are, the success does not become significant unless we can really see the potential and add the value to the people's lives, because that's what spiritual networking is really about, that we're one body and we get the oil from the Spirit of God to become fitly joined, framed together, compacted about by a work of the Holy Spirit. As He causes us to be successful, remember, we're not significant unless we're adding value to people's life. And that can be an uphill battle for you, because a lot of times people ask, well, what are you really doing? Adding value to people's life. Mm-hmm. I see the potential. I want people to grow. I don't want you to stop. I want you to pick up whatever's in your hand, Moses, mm-hmm. and begin to use it and yes. take my people across that Sinai Peninsula.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Well, just like all these people you're following that are new to Christ, that are born mm-hmm. again, this throne room prayer that I'm on, Krista Latham, I'd never heard of her before, but she shared this morning that 12 years ago she was very deeply steeped in addiction, drug addiction, and I don't know her whole story, but I know the Lord took her from where she was. She's married with three beautiful kids, and she's on fire for the Lord, and she's not doing anything unless the Holy Spirit releases her and gives her permission to do it. She's worshiping the Lord. She's obeying the Lord. She said, you think I want to get up at 5 a.m.? She's getting up at 4:15 a.m., and God told her to do this, and my daughter's kicking me in the back all night, and I didn't sleep all night. And she said, but I don't care. I don't care if I have a headache. I don't care if I'm tired. I'm obeying the Lord. He's telling us, seek, 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 seek. And but her story, right? Mm-hmm. All of our stories, where we came from, mm-hmm. And it's awesome. That's what draws people to the Lord, is the miracle of who we are, where mm-hmm. we were, and where we are now.
And I'm just thinking about the richness of those us boomers who have known the Lord for many, many years, but really have never stepped out and done anything, you know, and it's like the I can't think of that phrase, you know, that there's nothing's impossible with mm-hmm. God, you know. So even just your wildest dreams, whatever you've dreamed of doing or thought of doing or wondering if the Lord could use you in a certain way, you know, there's nothing off limits. There's no holds on it. It's you just jump out there and really do. I'm talking to the boomers, you know, that just because I know myself, you know, you just go to church, you know, year after year after year. And, you know, we've heard all the teaching. We've heard all the messages. You know, it's like, how much can we continue to consume? And, you know, I talked about that dream that I had when I saw all those fat sheep. You know, they were obese, really, because they were so full. And, you know, what happens with sheep when they fall over and their legs go up in the air, they can't move, and then they die. So, you know, we don't want to. I know it's a terrible thing. I saw a video the other day of a farmer that went out to get the one sheep, because all the other ones are standing around just looking at him, and they weren't able to help him. But anyway, you know, you've been fed long enough, you know. Get out and do the thing, like be daring to do something you haven't done before. I have things that I want to do, and I know that when the time is right, when the Lord leads, I'm going to be, bam, right there, ready to do it.
Yes.
a little word from our sponsors would be saying, well, you've been sitting there long enough. Now it's time to get up and apply what you know so you can go.
That's right. Mm,
yes.
That's right. Mm. So you, Sean, what's that thing that you say about wisdom is knowing how to do a thing? What was that again?
Well, you know, there's natural knowledge and then there's revelation knowledge that comes from the Word of God. You know, as Paul the Apostle said to the Church of Ephesus, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers, that God, whom is the Father of glory, would grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So when you read the Word of God, you simply receive knowledge from the Word of God. But when that word becomes revelation knowledge, because that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach you, that knowledge is the accumulation of facts, information, and details that come right from heaven, poured out into your spirit, man. Revelation knowledge. That's when Jesus said, well, who am I, Peter? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. Well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. He said, my Father revealed that. So God, the Father of glory, is the one who reveals to us through the Holy Spirit knowledge, revelation knowledge about who he is, what he is, and what he wants to do in our lives. Knowledge comes in the form. Revelation knowledge comes in the form of the facts, information, and the details. But wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge to our lives so that in our understanding, we get to move back and forth from the natural realm and the spiritual realm, you know, to keep doing what God wants us to do. So knowledge accumulates the information, wisdom applies it, and then the understanding assimilates it, builds upon it, puts it together, does exactly what God wants you to do.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So what do you have, Nanette? I saw you looking at something.
Oh, I actually was recalling, you know, she was talking about, you know, going over those questions, you know, those words over your life and where you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And all of that. And it was something that you said that helped me to recall something that was said a few years back, and it was interesting because of the term you use, and it was exactly that term here. So I was referencing that. But I do believe that it's very important in this time. I'm in agreement with all of you guys. The whole seeking thing, you know, the seeking out, seeking him out, and separating yourself during this time and really shifting your focus on what is this year going to look like? Where will you be this year with him, most importantly, your relationship? You know, I kept hearing for 2 days now, introspection. Mm. You know, the word introspection and introspect, you know, if you just that primary word, introspect, it says examine one's own thoughts and feelings. You know, it's a time to examine your thoughts, examine your feelings, you know, separate yourself. You know, that new level of seek, like you mentioned, that with the women that you're gathering every morning to pray with. Mm-hmm. Wow, it is. It's like, again, for me personally, I feel like I'm coming against, and I've said this time and time again, because we meet as well as a group, as brothers and sisters, just seeking and praying. And so one of the things that kept coming up is us coming against the Word of God. That's what we're coming up against, the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God is at work with us, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not. It's different from pruning, right? It's different from refining. It's saying, like the Gideon, do you believe who I say you are with me? Mm-hmm. Do you believe what I see in you? You kept saying, the God who sees, the God who sees. Yes. But what is he seeing?
Yes.
What is he seeing about you, Deanne? Mm-hmm. You know, what is he saying about? Do you believe that for yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Do you believe that you're not forgotten? You see, it's these, mm-hmm. you know, the belief is so important. And so Yeah, you even said let go of the old and go and for the new. Like, you have to let go of the old. That is just so hard to do. It's so hard to do, is to let go of the old, because the old is the safe place, right?
Well, sometimes we're expecting things to happen the same way.
Right, right.
And we're looking for that same thing.
Right.
And when it's not happening, it's like, what's going on? What's
yeah.
going on? Even right now, like, God is quiet with me.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any words. I'm not getting any downloads. I'm not getting any revelation, instruction. I'm just like driving in this morning and saying, Lord, even if you're not speaking in that way, I'm mm-hmm. still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there must be a reason for it.
Yeah,
because
is.
He doesn't want us looking to that same old, same old,
right.
same
yes.
old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to do something fresh and new. And I'm telling you, I feel it in the atmosphere.
Me
I
too.
Feel it in
Me
the
too.
Spiritual realm. There is going to be such change and shifts and adjustments and open portals, doors, mm-hmm. gateways. I'm telling you, we have to be so ready.
Yes.
And we're not going to be ready if we're not listening and mm-hmm. seeking, right? God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And when we're seeking is when he brings. Go ahead, Sing.
The surgeon is normally pretty quiet when he's in surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the only
mm-hmm.
thing he says is, hand me that tool, because he's working on a body.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a body for himself he
yeah.
has created, you know?
Yes.
So that's what you're experiencing in that beautiful place,
Amen.
The handiwork of
yes.
Almighty God.
Amen.
But ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I was asking him last night, I said, Lord, let me see myself as you see me,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know how God sees me, or maybe I've forgotten how God sees mm-hmm. me. So we all need to say, Lord, show me through your eyes. How do you see me?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? How do you see me? Where am I going?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll use an actual person to say that, you know,
Amen.
To come alongside of you.
That's right.
Like, I can say, just looking at you, Deanne, I see so many beautiful things about you.
Mm, thank you.
So many beautiful. I see such, like, God's power flowing. Like, you don't even know. And, you know, so this is why God uses people.
Amen.
God uses people to remind you or to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have no idea how God uses you. I told you that the other day, this beautiful alabaster bottle
mm-hmm.
poured out, broken,
mm.
yet brings such deliverance.
Praise God.
That aroma. I was talking to my friend this morning. She was also reminding me, there's an aroma that comes out when that mm-hmm. expensive oil,
Amen.
That expensive perfume came out. And I was like, that was actually Liz. Shout out to Liz, who's
oh, yeah.
always constantly listening.
Mm,
and she just added to that.
Wow.
There's an aroma. There's a scent mm. that he desires, that he just loves smelling.
Mm,
every time
God.
Deanne pours out. There's so, I mean, I can go on and on, but, you know, we don't have time.
No.
But I'll do
30
it.
30 seconds.
I'll do it personally for her. But, yes, this is why God sometimes uses people, because sometimes we just don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. So we have just a minute left. Sean, I think you have something you want to say.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like a thus saith the Lord. You wonder how things happen, but it's like the ugly are becoming beautiful, the nasty are becoming nice, and the critical are beginning to add value to the lives of others.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
We're starting to grow up.
Amen.
I want to grow up more and more.
Grow up.
Mature in Christ. And
Amen.
Be
yes.
a poured out one. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, just keep wanting to seek him,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with our whole heart. Seek him with your whole heart. Get to know him in a way that you haven't known him before.
Yes.
Because he's waiting. I always think mm-hmm. about, you know, how they, in The Chosen, how Jesus is really displayed as, oh man, you just mm-hmm. want to talk to him. You just want to mm-hmm. go hang out with him.
Yes.
You know, they've made him very real, which he is. And a lot of times we have discounted that over the years, and we separate ourselves from him. But he loves you, and we love you, and
yes,
we're
we
out of
you.
time. So we will be back next week. And actually, I'm going to have to replay a program next week because I will be off for the day. Blessings.